From the studios at Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Late Friday afternoon, the Idaho Supreme Court said it would not stop Idaho's abortion trigger law from going into effect in 10 days, and that it was lifting a stay on another Idaho law, the one that allows relatives to sue a doctor after an abortion. So that means the laws could be enforced while justices hear three lawsuits brought by Planned Parenthood. This latest move played out Friday while a fourth suit, this one brought by the Biden administration against Idaho's abortion restrictions, is continuing. So here again with the very latest is our own James Dawson. He is a Boise State Public Radio news reporter, and Jimmy has been keeping us up to date all of this time. Jimmy, good to have you back on the program.
Hey, good to be back.
Okay, so let's start with the court lifting the current stay on SB 1309. Now, Jimmy, this is the Texas-style law that lets relatives sue a doctor after an abortion, correct?
Yeah. So this law would, like you said, let immediate family members of an aborted fetus, we're talking about, let's say, the expectant mother's, parents, siblings, that sort of thing, sue the doctor for $20,000, a minimum of $20,000, up to, I believe, 4 years after an abortion is performed. And that abortion would have had to be performed after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
So, go ahead,
Jimmy. Sorry. No, continue.
Oh, yeah. So this was a law that was passed earlier this year by the Idaho legislature and was kind of immediately blocked from being implemented after Planned Parenthood filed suit. I believe it was in March, just shortly after it hit the code books. So this is something that, has kind of been up in the air for months now.
Okay. So does this mean that this law is in effect in Idaho? Or is there a bit of a waiting period until it officially goes into effect?
My understanding is that it is in effect immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, I remember, and clarify if I'm misstating here, but there was much debate over this SB 1309. But one issue was who could sue. You mentioned families. But there was a debate about whether if a woman had been raped, the rapist could not sue.
Mm-hmm. But their family members can under this law. So as you mentioned, and as was pointed out by a whole lot of advocates during the legislative session, this means that the mother or father of a rapist could sue that doctor up to 4 years later for a minimum of $20,000.
Okay. And then the court said it would not issue a stay on Idaho's near total abortion ban. So what does that mean for the law? And this one, Jimmy, is set to go into effect August 25th?
Correct. Yep. Next Thursday. So they essentially denied this stay on kind of technical grounds. And it was a split 3-2 decision too, where essentially the majority said, look, okay, Planned Parenthood proved, or at least in their minds, demonstrated how pregnant women and doctors would be substantially burdened and harmed potentially by this law. But what Planned Parenthood didn't demonstrate in the majority's mind was that they could win the case on the merits, that they were likely to win the case on the merits, given the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade back in June. And so they thought you had to meet both of those criteria. Again, this is kind of inside baseball. And the minority, the two other justices, said, no, you only need to meet one of the two to get an injunction to temporarily block this.
Well, Jimmy, let's get into that a little bit, because I do think, within within the dissent, but also within the majority, the reasons, and I believe what it would Justice Stegner issued the minority opinion, and he did talk about that, correct? About that, he said that we know that the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling has caused what he called, quote, significant upheaval in society. And then he went on to say that basically they're deciding on an issue that hasn't been decided because there's nothing in the Idaho Constitution that talks about abortion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right. the quote from Stegner is, now we find ourselves in uncharted legal waters, waters we should navigate with great caution and care. So, I mean, that's exactly his argument, as well as Justice Colleen Zahn.
Mm-hmm. And I so once again, it's a 3-2 vote. So, you still have these dissenting opinions at the highest level of our court system in the state.
You do. It's been a while since I've seen a 3-2 decision in the Idaho Supreme Court, to be honest. Usually they're pretty unanimous, or, 4-1. And usually the dissents are not necessarily substantial, like we see with the U.S. Supreme Court. They're more along these technical grounds. I agree with most of what the majority wrote, but I think that you should have decided it on these different reasons. Yeah, it's something that we're not necessarily used to seeing.
Right. So I'm curious, Jimmy, what kind of reaction have you heard since Friday from both sides? So let's start with the folks who brought the case, Planned Parenthood, with people who believe in choice. What has their reaction been?
Oh, I mean, they're not happy at all. You have Alexis McGill Johnson, who's president and CEO of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, saying, tonight the people of Idaho saw their bodily autonomy and reproductive freedom taken away. They called the decision horrific and cruel, but said that they're going to keep up the fight. And obviously, we'll see that come September 29th when those lawsuits are back in the Idaho Supreme Court. As for, the anti-abortion folks, they're celebrating. They say that this is something they've been working toward for decades, and is just, reaffirming that they felt as though they tailored these laws to be within the bounds of the laws.
Mm. If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with our own Boise State Public Radio reporter, James Dawson, about Friday's latest move by the Idaho Supreme Court on the state's abortion laws. So, Jimmy, also on Friday, the court consolidated all three of these Planned Parenthood suits against Idaho's abortion laws. So what exactly does that mean, and how does that work?
Essentially, it just combines the three cases so that, you don't have different hearings on different days with the same lawyers trying to defend fairly similar laws. Two of them are fairly similar, the other being the Texas-style abortion ban, which has that, lawsuit component to it. And so it just kind of streamlines the cases and, allows, lawyers to not have to file, 20-page briefs for each individual one, and essentially copying and pasting right. things, right?
Okay. Okay, so Jimmy, let's talk about the federal lawsuit very quickly, because this is the DOJ suing the state of Idaho over one of our abortion bans. So once again, tell us which one, but also there's also a hearing, the first hearing on this, August 22nd. So tell us that first, and then I have another question for you.
Sure. Yeah. So this is the 2020 trigger law that would be the near total abortion ban that, as you've said earlier, would go into effect on August 25th, which is next Thursday. And those oral arguments on a motion to, stay this law's implementation is a week from today, next Monday, in federal court.
Oh, okay. So my question then, Jimmy, is that here the Idaho Supreme Court has decided in a 3-2 opinion to not stay this trigger abortion law, as you mentioned, goes into effect next Thursday. However, the DOJ is going in for a hearing on Monday, the 22nd. Could the judge decide to stay this abortion ban on August 22nd, 3 days before it's set to go into effect, after this hearing and after the Idaho Supreme Court chooses not to stay it?
Yeah, Judge Lynn Windmill, that's a tongue twister, Judge Lynn Windmill. Yeah, certainly could. I mean, the federal government is also suing on different grounds than Planned Parenthood is. They're arguing that this ban would, violate a federal law that essentially means that, hospitals that accept Medicare dollars have to treat patients in emergency circumstances. So, you know, if you go in and there's, you know, a pregnancy that's threatening the health of the mother, not just the life of the mother, which is the only exception in that regard for Idaho's laws, then the federal government says that hospitals have to treat it, including, you know, potentially offering an abortion if that's how they determine that needs to be treated. So yes, this law could technically be on hold permanently or temporarily, even after the Idaho Supreme Court declined to do so.
Okay. I want to give you some dates really quick because there's a lot that's happening next. So talk about what happens on August 19th.
August 19th, this Friday, is when the six-week ban goes into effect. This would, they have the same exceptions generally where, you know, there are exceptions for rape, incest, and this one says medical emergency. The others say threatening the life of the mother. Mm. But yes, that's the one going into effect on the 19th.
Okay. And then as we mentioned, August 22nd, this is the first federal hearing.
Correct. Yeah. On the motion specifically. So, you know, the judge could rule from the bench. I don't know if he would or issue some opinion or ruling, you know, in the next few days after that.
And then August 25th.
That is when the near total abortion ban goes into effect, which bars abortions except for, like I said, in cases of rape, incest, or when the life of the mother is threatened.
And then September 29th is another big day.
It is, and that's when the Idaho Supreme Court will actually take up oral arguments on the merits of those all three of these laws that are set to go into effect pretty imminently.
Okay, so Jimmy, just to be clear, we talked about this at the top of the hour. Friday's decision means if a pregnant person in Idaho has an abortion right now, the relatives could sue the doctor who performed the abortion.
That's my understanding, if it is performed after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay. And then without a court getting involved, Idaho's trigger law, which bans most abortions in Idaho, I mean, we're talking after 6 weeks, which most people don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks, goes into effect in 10 days.
That's just all abortions aside from the three exceptions.
Okay. Not even 6 weeks. All right, Jimmy, thank you for clarifying all of this for us and also just continuing to report on this. As I said, this is going to be a long road.
Sure thing. I know it's a lot for everyone to keep in mind, so hopefully I'm doing an okay job for all the rest of you.
No, we appreciate it. We've been talking with our own Boise State Public Radio reporter, James Dawson, discussing Idaho's abortion laws and the four challenges against them. Again, Jimmy, thanks for breaking everything down for us. And of course, we'll have you back on the show next week, right after Judge Belen Windmill hears the first arguments in the federal case against Idaho's abortion law.
Sounds great. See you then, Gemma.